All right, welcome back in a little Stern and Show. I am Ron, the Show Hughley, filling in today. And I've gotten a couple messages saying, hold up, Ron, why did you turn down sex from your wife yesterday? Maybe we may have time at some point for me to get there. I'm not happy about it, but I believe it's for good reason. And I believe most of you will respect me for the reason or have felt it. Clint, obviously you have not. You've not been in this situation for the reason why I turned down sex yesterday, but maybe we'll get into it. But I want to get into this first, Clint.
Okay. I don't know where to go with that show.
You're pretty intrigued, but maybe if we have some time.
I got some idea of the details. Hell, I don't know. I don't know where we want to go with that. But hey, look here. Go ahead.
I'm out on Joe Burrow. I'm out. I've been skeptical from the jump, and I remember talking to you guys yesterday. We talked to John Harris, the Texan sideline reporter and analyst. We talked to him, and I said, is there any reminder for you in terms of Joe Burrow and his confidence / cockiness of Baker Mayfield? And I was on an island of my own. I was like, I don't see it. And I was always skeptical, Clint, because it's just 1 year. Like, he had never, ever shown to be this accurate to me to be able to spin it the way he did.
Yeah.
He got beat out by Haskins. He got better. He had to move schools. Never before had he ever shown this. A little Mitch Trubisky to me. Never before had he ever shown this. 1 year he showed this, and now you're going to give him the keys to the franchise. I'm a little iffy about that. He did it against the best defenses, but I'd like to see it one more year. And then he did this. Then he went and was asked questions at the combine yesterday, and this is the reason why I'm out.
You know, I really admire Baker's mentality. He, you know, coming in, if you're the number one pick, the team that's picking number one is there for a reason. So you're going to have to come in. There's going to be ups and downs, and you just got to stay steady through the process.
Who the hell stayed steady? Who puts Baker Mayfield and the word steady together? What in the hell has Baker ever been steady? Listen, a lot of the things about playing that position is being the adult in the room. And everything that I would want from my franchise quarterback, Clint, is the complete opposite of Baker. And if you, Joe Burrow, have sat and watched Baker Mayfield, and the word that comes to mind to you is steady. Now, come on, champ. We got to relook at this. Now I'm out, man. He looks at Baker Mayfield as steady. Nope.
Yeah, show, man. I'm torn, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm torn, man. Here's the deal. Baker Mayfield has not dealt with the adversity that has been the Cleveland Browns since the day he stepped into a Cleveland Browns uniform. He's done a poor job. He probably underestimated. He had always played, I think, within organization, even in Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. I think I doubt there was a lot of dysfunction within. You go to Oklahoma, it's a well-oiled machine, easy to play quarterback in those types of organizations when everything revolves around you being in the right mental state and surrounding you with great talent and putting you in position to win on a daily basis. And so it's easy to play quarterback in those positions. Let me rephrase that. It's never easy. It's less difficult to play quarterback when those are your surroundings. It is damn near impossible to play quarterback when there is extreme dysfunction around that quarterback. And I don't know that there's been a more dysfunctional organization in all of pro sports than the Cleveland Browns have been over the last several years. And so I say all that to say the adversity that Baker Mayfield has failed, no doubt about it, handling that adversity has been adversity that he really stood no chance. But at the end of the day, as you always say, I'll steal the term, the adult in the room, Baker Mayfield at no point in time has handled the adversity that the Cleveland Browns are as the adult in the room. And you would like to think that a franchise quarterback would be the adult in the room, even when it's damn near impossible for a quarterback to be successful and have success on the field.
And I don't think Baker, everything Baker has done has been bad. I actually thought the way he initially handled the Myles Garrett stuff, how he came out there and was, he seemed to be the face of the organization. And I thought he did well with that. But all the other stuff, Steady just didn't it. And you said the Browns may be the most dysfunctional organization. Well, you know who could have an argument for number two?
Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati Bengals. And that's where Joe's going. And the Cincinnati Bengals have done everything to ensure that he's not going to be set up even with the weapons that Baker had.
Right.
When it got
with the damn sure not the advantage. I mean, he's going into every game on Sunday with a huge disadvantage from culture standpoint, from a talent standpoint, from a more than likely a play caller standpoint. More times than not, he's going to be behind the eight ball. He's either going to have a guy that's not very good at it or a guy that's unproven, and you're trying to build to a point where you're a legit NFL caliber play caller. And I'm not even sure who the play caller is in Cincinnati
Zach
right now.
Taylor.
I'm assuming it's
Zach,
the head coach, Zach Taylor, right?
Zach Taylor, and he's just getting the Sean McVay rub that everybody got, and that's why he got that job.
So he's still trying to prove himself. The fact of the matter is, Show, and you're touching on something that being with the SEC Network the few years that I was, like I was adamant about, man, is you got a handful of teams that take the field in college football in the SEC with a huge advantage from a talent standpoint. LSU is one of them. LSU is one of those teams that, hell, all you got to do is go to a game, stand on the sideline, and you look at one sideline, and then you look over to LSU's sidelines. Them boys they got in that Tiger uniform that are working out in Death Valley over there, them are different monsters now. And so just a lot changes from when you leave Oklahoma and go to Cleveland. And when you leave LSU and go to Cincinnati possibly, there's a big, big difference. And it's a whole different skill set, Show, to survive in that world than it is to walk in and get handed the keys to a damn Ferrari, right? You walk in and you get handed the keys to an old jalopy, old Pinto, and you're supposed to go run with the Ferraris and run with the Porsches. It's a different monster now. And so I say all that, and in no way, shape, or form am I giving Baker Mayfield a pass, because he has failed miserably for a long period of time now when it comes to riding the ship in a very dysfunctional organization. Now, I don't think he had much help either, but when it's all said and done, when you're a franchise quarterback, they're drafting you to change things, right?
I'm sorry. If I were meeting and I'm looking at and I'm thinking about pulling the trigger on Joe Burrow, and like I've said, we talked about it with Dak yesterday, that one position, and you know it, that position is more than just about what you do on the field. Like, I don't care if I'm thinking about drafting a defensive end and he gets caught with failing a drug test at the combine. I don't give a damn about that. He's a defensive end. My quarterback does. I really, really, really care about mindset, focus, and decision-making. And the last thing that I want to hear is you admire Baker Mayfield for what he did last year and – how steady he was as the quarterback of the Browns. That makes me blink. That makes me, well, what the hell? That's what your definition of steady is. You admire it, which in ways to me says that's what I want to do. And you want to handle it like
that? Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I don't know where he gathered his intel.
Deshaun would never say that. Deshaun Watson would never come out, and he would not come out. He would never say that.
No, it was a mistake. It was clearly a mistake. And I know this though, man. I know that they're up against a very similar situation. And I'm telling you, Show, it's an absolute monster. People talk about he should pull a Eli Manning. You damn right he should. You damn right he should.
You wouldn't go to Cincinnati.
No.
Carson Palmer is telling him, "Don't do it."
Chief,
let
me have that kind of talent where I'm a first round draft pick in the NFL, and I've got a decision to make, and I can somewhat orchestrate where I end up playing pro ball. You want me to go to Cincinnati? Nah, I'm out on that deal. And by the way, are they going to sign AJ Green? I just told you.
Where's the competitor in you? Where's the competitor saying, hey, I'm Clint Sterner,
you
I can
what?
Turn it around.
You're like one of them damn college coaches that wants to sit down in front of all these damn high school kids and talk about, you scared of competition? Well, I signed the number one quarterback in the country last year and the number one pocket passer in the year before, but you're scared of competition if you don't come play. No, it's called a business decision. It's called a very smart business decision, Chief. I'm out on it. I just ain't going to play ball in Cincinnati. I'm gonna be honest with you. These guys that move up in that first round like that and draft a quarterback and think that's the answer, that's gonna turn. It's not, man. You got to get a lot of stuff right around a quarterback before that poor guy has a chance. The risk of you ruining that guy before you get good enough to give him a chance to play a position at a high level is a lot greater than him coming in there and turning your organization around in a year.